Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin, and today I have David Springer here with me. And David is the owner of Springer Studios, which is a full-service digital marketing agency located in Wilmington, North Carolina. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about David's journey of growing his agency, what he's learned along the way, and we'll also be talking about some challenges he's had to overcome and also how he maintains happy clients. So thank you so much for joining me today, David.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
Awesome. So to get started, I'd love to know what really motivates or inspires you as an agency owner.
Great question. A lot of things, actually. I think it's one of the things I think if you really boiled it down to, I think a lot of why I do what I do is I really sort of geek out on the idea that we as designers and creators can create things that can impact human behavior. So whether that be to generate a click, call something or interact with a brand that they might not have previously considered. I think that's really sort of the underlying, motivator and driver in what we do. And also just, I think telling a good story and the ability to do that artistically.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And so can you share with us your story of, you know, how you got into the digital marketing space and ended up starting Springer Studios?
Yes, definitely. It's funny, actually, growing up, I never really considered myself or considered the idea of owning an agency. It sort of happened.
Okay.
When I started my career, I was working for a real estate company at the time and just happened to be in the right place at the right time. So in a very hot market, went from the one solo designer to growing a team of 21 creatives at one point.
Very cool.
And then I am old enough to where I went through the recession of 2008 that is, especially hit the housing market. Our team went from 21 to 11 and then from 11 to 4. And during that time period, CFO comes in and says, hey, you know, we have to downsize. And there was a lot of really talented creatives that unfortunately, you know, had to let go. And at the time I had two small children and a stay-at-home wife. So I think the need to provide and also the understanding of different mediums sort of prompted me to say, hey, I need to have something sort of queued up ready just in case, I would have to lose my job or have to make a pivot. So that was, I think, a lot of what motivated me, along with the idea that, having sort of a background in multiple disciplines that really came about from that growth that I saw with that real estate company, where, coming in as an illustrator with graphic design abilities, but then also through my education, having photography and environmental graphics, that really sort of prompted me to realize that, hey, maybe I could do this, and start my own company. And over time, what happened is through that experience, I started my side business and sort of had that sort of on the back burner. But over the years, it grew and grew and grew to the point where it really surpassed what I was doing on a daily basis. So I think that, along with encouragement from friends and family, led me to open my own agency.
That's really cool. And then how did you get those first few clients when you were first starting out?
Great question. It was actually a lot of the, through that sort of change, with one, I will say this is, I think this is really important. And I learned this is really to just always be nice and genuine. I think and really appreciate relationships and never burn bridges. Obviously, there's some people that you interact with from time to time, and you realize that, hey, I don't really care to work with this individual, but I think you can still be very cordial in that relationship. But one thing that happened is, through all the relationships that I had when I first started my career, you know, when I went out on my own and people, you know, changed careers or moved from here to there, a lot of times I'd get calls from people I originally worked with or friends of people that I worked with. And that really led to a lot of, you know, a lot of the growth initially to get my business off the ground. One of the things I'm a big believer in is being able to show the work that you can do. I remember, especially when I first started out, there were some moments where, I remember thinking, hey, I just want a chance. I just want an opportunity to show you what I can do, you know? And I remember having some of those struggles and some of those thoughts where I just wanted to win the work based on my merit and my abilities. And over time, you know, staying consistent, constantly growing, constantly refining my abilities, I think that, you know, over time led to more and more interactions with some of those, that network that I had originally, but then also leading to, you know, sort of building that network. Referrals are just so huge, I think, in within any business. So having positive interactions with every client, every touch point that you have, I think over time, you know, provided that you're providing high quality creative, I think it sort of naturally grows on its own. So.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So you've basically, you go, you know, above and beyond to really nurture those relationships of people in your network. And, you know, as a result, it's really, it's helped to grow your brand through word of mouth and bringing in referrals for you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So, and I think there's you have to be able to show that you can do the work, right? So it's, yes. And that's one thing that I've seen. I've actually been amazed at seeing some, like, you know, some other companies that are in the same line of work that we are. And you go to their website, they speak to all these different services that they can offer, but you don't actually see a lot of the portfolio work. And to me, I've always sort of flipped that on its head and say that, you know, like, show what you can do. If you can show these visuals, show these, you know, if you have metrics to sort of back up what you're doing, but also have that visualization. I think a lot of times clients come in and they're looking for you as the professional, the expert in the field, to really guide. They know they need something, but they don't exactly know what. And a lot of times, if they can look at something that you've created and then say, hey, wait, that's, you know, that's exactly what I want. I want something like this, but maybe tweak it a little bit or do something like that. I think that definitely helps out.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm curious if you have, you know, any strategies in place for how to, you know, nurture relationships with, you know, prospects and people in your network on an ongoing basis, so that you're able to stay, you know, top of mind with them.
Yes, that's actually a really good question. You know, a lot of times, so with our business right now, we're I think about 10 people with a network of subcontractors, and we have a lot of account managers that. A lot of times it was sort of the front lines in terms of interacting with clients. And a lot of times what we talk about is, helping clients discover what they need, right? So it's, they know they need something, but they don't know exactly what. And I think sometimes is you have to sort of provide them the answer for what they think they want, right? So it's, and I think a lot of times it's clients want to be heard, right? So it's, one thing that we talk about is we never want to use the word experts when we're referring to ourselves, because one, I think we're constantly refining what we do. And I think there needs to be a level of a growth mindset, but then also I think it helps sort of add a layer of humility whenever you're working with someone, a client, to really truly listen. And I think that helps nurture the relationship. In a lot of cases, yes, we can provide a service, but really people are buying you. They're buying the interaction of your company. And I think that's right. Where if we're really good listeners, that we listen first, talk second, that I think allows clients to really express what they're looking for. And I think it just builds trust in the relationship. So
I love that. Yeah. I think really just dialing in that communication is so important. Because at the end of the day, people just want to feel heard and, like, you know, you care about their best interests at heart.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And then, so I know when you guys were first starting out and you had those first few clients, you know, they were from your network. So how has that strategy evolved over the years? You know, aside from bringing referrals, obviously that is a huge component of how you bring in new business. Is there any other channels from which you generate leads?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of the initial verticals that we were involved in, obviously we had a lot of real estate from our real estate background. But then some of those referrals went off into different careers. But then also, you know, like for instance, we do a lot of work with community colleges in North Carolina.
And, okay, very cool.
Yeah, it's such a fun group to work with because they really touch all aspects of the community while having an educational energy that you can apply to really vivid color palettes, fun typography, environmental graphics on campus. It's a really sort of fun niche. But within that vertical, I think a lot of it, and you talk about evolving, a lot of it is understanding the vertical, right? So it's, we talk about this internally where we call it reaching through the portal, right? So somebody, and what I mean by that is when a client comes, they're asking for X, Y, Z. Let's say that I want a logo, business card, and letterhead, or and maybe a website. And that's what we've been asked to do. But part of what we talk about is reaching through the portal and really try to identify the problems or the obstacles that clients deal with. And some of that comes through is really understanding the vertical, understanding community colleges, understanding some of their pain points and things that they have to deal with, because that helps us create better solutions. It's not necessarily what we were asked or even tasked to do, but I think a lot of that research leading into it, I think definitely can help solve the problems. And I think that, you know, that alone, like we started with one community college in North Carolina. I think at last time I counted, we're up to 14 different community colleges that we're working with. So that's pretty awesome.
Cool.
It's been great growth. And a lot of that is through that first proof of concept and really doing a great job there. That word of mouth has then extended within that one, just that one vertical. And I think, you know, with any client that you deal with, one of our clients is within the nuclear space. So they deal with nuclear power plants and they write the software that goes into nuclear power plants. So one day I'm on a call with an engineer and I'm learning about all the different variables that go into a nuclear power plant. Now, that's not something they taught me in art school, but it's definitely very relative to being able to solve the problem and be able to communicate the offering or tell their story. So
yeah,
I hope that answered your question. I don't know if I did or not, but
what I think is really interesting about working with the community colleges specifically is that that you really focused on serving a niche. So that's really cool. You know, you noticed it was working for you and you just doubled down on working with community colleges. And, you know, you can tell you're really passionate about it, which I think is, you know, so important because that really just comes through in, you know, when you're communicating with the client and then the overall work that you're able to do, you've got to have that kind of passion behind it all.
Yes, absolutely. I think one thing that just to address and elaborate on that a little bit is we talk about that is that, you know, we are stage 5 clingers when it comes to our clients. So we fall in love on the first date and like you have to go all in because a lot of within this industry, like if somebody comes to you, and let's say they've spent the past 5 years of their life working on this little gizmo that they're going to try to sell to the public. And they've poured their heart and soul into this, right? And a lot of times what we found is that we have to get on that level. Like we've got to be as passionate as they are. And that resonates so well with our clients. And I think that's even going back to the lead development, that's a big part of it is you have to be excited about it because, you know, to them it's everything. And so to us, we have to treat it like it's our own. And I think that's a really, really important point, you know, that I think would be helpful to so many creatives.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, so with the community colleges specifically, were you, you know, approaching them and, you know, just sharing, you know, we've done this work for other colleges, this is what we can do. Is that how you were bringing them on as clients or was it strictly word of mouth they were coming to you?
So I think it was, there was definitely a lot of word of mouth. I remember one person in the community college, it was a creative director in the community college network, said, you know, the community college is sort of like the mob. Once you're in, you're in. So I think part of it was not only that we did good work, but again, sort of that mindset of reaching through the portal. How can we make this better? Like, how can we even as it relates to their own structure and how they work, nothing was off the table really in terms of that understanding, because at the end of the day, it's like our job is to help them connect dots. It's, you know, they have this, let's say 17-year-old, and they're trying to find what they're going to do with their life after they graduate high school. You know, it's like, okay, like mm-hmm. we got to get in that mindset and understand the touch points. And if it's something that the community college can do to improve, to help connect those dots, get that person enrolled, what is that? And that's past the canvas and creating the website or whatever, you know, like let's dig into the functionality. Let's dig in a little bit more. So, and I think that, you know, really sort of lit a fire that then these other community colleges caught wind of, and they're like, hey, wait, we want a piece of that too. And so it's been very successful for us. Not only like community college is one of the verticals that we're within. But that, you know, that's sort of the mindset that we carry into all the clients that we work with, is that how can we help them with their need? You know, it's like, yes, they've asked us to do X, Y, Z, but really what is the pain point? What is the problem they're trying to solve? And that's where we really need to dig in and have a great understanding.
I love that. That's awesome. Cool. And then, so aside from the pandemic, you know, there's tons of challenges that agency owners are always having to overcome as they grow their yes. companies. So, yep. you know, what's one challenge you've had to overcome as you've grown Springer Studios, and how have you overcome that?
That's it's funny because I feel like they're constantly changing.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's some challenges that, you know, if you start looking at, I think probably one of the biggest challenges we faced is honestly a lot of the needs that are coming in the door. I think as a business owner in general, you don't want to turn away work because, you know, the future is uncertain. You constantly want to be, you know, striving to make sure you're sort of filling that pipeline. But with that growth, a lot of times it comes, you're starting to look at additional resources, additional people. And one of the biggest challenges, you know, I think one of the best ways I can describe being an agency owner is it's sort of like playing spinning plates. You have all these mm-hmm. plates and they're spinning and you know, you're focused on these two, and you look over and this one plate's about to fall, and you're constantly having to change gears, wear multiple hats. And I think some of that is as you start to scale and grow those, you get more and more plates, right? And I think part of it is it's a challenge, but I think it's also something that is just incredibly important that I'm really starting to realize is investing more in my people. I've always been a person that, you know, when it gets tough, just roll up your sleeves and knock it out and do it, right? And sort of take control of the situation and jump in and do the project. But really, that's not sustainable at a high level. So what I've really been focused on lately is how can I take the knowledge that I've gained over 23 years and start to instill that in, you know, these amazing talented creatives around me. And you know, we're incredibly fortunate that we have you know, an awesome staff. I mean, we have a bunch of great creative minds. But I think a lot of it is from a challenge standpoint, especially with the pipeline and spinning plates and all that, is how can you grow your creatives effectively? And especially now, I feel like the landscape is changing. It's constantly changing. And I think one thing just to sort of speak to, I think for any agency owner, is that you have to be an agent of change. Meaning,
ooh, I love that.
You have to be looking to change and evolve. When I started my career, it was predominantly print focused. And here in Wilmington, I watched four print companies go out of business over time just because the game changed, right? And I think one of my biggest fears as a creative is becoming dated, where what I produce is no longer relevant. And, you know, so I think because of that, you always got to be looking for evolving, changing. And I think that's that, yeah, it's just a big, I think, such a vital part of what we do. So, and especially with, you know, you're starting to look at artificial intelligence and ChatGPT and, you know, all these different tools that are growing at an exponential rate. So where we are today versus where we are a year from now is going to be completely different. One of the things that I've charged our staff with, we really started paying attention to that artificial intelligence aspect of things second quarter of 2022. And we started talking about it in our weekly team meetings. And now it's something that I've asked every single employee that works here is that you need to somehow find a way to incorporate artificial intelligence into what you're doing, whether it's ChatGPT, whether it's what the variety of tools that exist, because a lot of the name of the game with any business is speed and efficiency and quality, right? So
yes,
how can I produce a high quality product as efficiently and as quickly as possible? So,
So
I know I sort of danced around on that response a little bit, but I think those are just incredibly vital.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really cool. And I love that you kind of gave your team flexibility, but you were like, figure out a way to incorporate this in, figure out a way to be more productive. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really interesting challenge because you don't know what they're going to come back with. So, yes. You know, it might've been something that you would have never even thought about. So that's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah. And I think, you know, as an agency owner, it's definitely, you're always balancing so many things. And I know, you know, finding that balance between hiring new talent versus, you know, when the demand comes, when you've got new leads coming in, it's a big challenge that a lot of agency owners face. Mm-hmm. What are some ways that you try and combat that and try and find that balance between, you know, hiring talent versus, bringing in those leads and being able to satisfy them?
That's a great question. I think by the day that I retire, maybe I'll have it figured out. I think it's where like being an agent of change and constantly being at the ready really comes into play, because strictly as a business owner is when you bring an employee on, and especially like from that example I gave of 2008, where I had to sit across the table and let these like decide who was able to keep their job. That was just a brutal, brutal time. And part of what I've tried to do because of that is build a weatherproof company. Recessions are going to happen. Downtimes are going to happen. So I've always been very slow to add on jobs, because, you know, if somebody comes in the door, I want to be able to guarantee to the best of my ability that they can retain that job. So I think, you know, you're constantly looking to grow. You're constantly being aggressive and competitive in terms of generating new leads. But then at the same time, you want to be just incredibly consistent. And the other thing too, is that, you know, with every employee that you bring on, there's added overhead, right? So it's balancing that, you know, at the same time, but also not falling too far behind where you can't fill the needs, fill the the orders that would come in. So it's it's constantly challenging. I will say this, one thing that I think is incredibly important is and I read this long time ago, is, you know, really understanding your numbers. I think a lot of creatives aren't inherently good at sort of the analytical side of things, and my dad was a retired industrial engineer. And so he, you know, in a lot of respects, he almost acted like a robot. But what it did was it really taught me to understand my numbers. And he really sort of beat that in my head of having that financial security, because when you have that, it really alleviates a lot of stress. And it's,
yes.
And then that can help you also plan to understand that, hey, here's sort of my, you know, what's on the horizon in terms of leads that are coming in. Here's what my overhead is. I know it's this every single month that I have to clear. And then also, you know, when we first started out, we took out a lot of business loans and whatnot to help us get off the ground. And we really leveraged those for a long period of time. And ultimately we were able to pay that off and then save a little bit. Now we're borrowing money from ourselves, which takes so much stress out of the equation on what can already be a stressful career where, you know, there's tight deadlines and you're dealing with subjective art in a lot of respects. So where it's not necessarily like a black and white answer, it's a little bit more subjective. So that I think is a really big part of this, is just having a good an understanding of what your financials are, I think can really help you in terms of the lead and then also the overhead aspect of a business.
Very cool. That's awesome. Yeah. And I agree. Having that, financial, really training yourself and knowing your numbers early on, I think is really important. Yes. Because it takes so much capital to start an agency, and you got to deal with clients paying their bills late, and you don't want things like that to really take your agency down, which is a possibility when you're first starting out.
Yes, absolutely. Another thing, just sort of came to mind. Another thing that I heard was the number one reason why agencies failed. Now, this was an article I read probably about 5 to 10 years ago. It's been quite a while, but they said the number one reason that creative agencies fail is because they don't bill. And it's just sort of, It was sort of dumbfounding, but a lot of times, and I find myself, especially early in my career, falling into this, is that I just love the work. I loved the creation part of things. I loved just what I did. So, and a lot of times I wouldn't focus as much on the billing side of things. That's a vital, to be able to do what I love to do. And then also I think there was a step in there early in my career where to really value what I do, right? So it's, I think sometimes it just becomes natural. And so not to discredit what it is that you do, but I think that's just a really important lesson to understand your value. Understand, if you're a new designer, then you've got, I think sometimes even when I was a young designer, I thought I knew more than I did. And it seems like the older I get, I feel like I know less than I did even when I was younger. But I think you need to value your time, understand the energy that goes into what you do. And there's a value to that, and then make sure that you're billing appropriately and expediting that process. Going back to the financial side of things is that, I know every 2 weeks paychecks and utilities and rent and everything is going out the door. So, I need to make sure that I'm billing at a pace where I can keep up with that or actually be ahead of it. So anyway, yes. I think all good things there.
That's really good advice. I love that. Awesome. So we're going to be moving on to the fast five now. So I'm going to have 5 rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
Okay. Yes, let's do it.
Awesome. So the first question I have for you is, what's one piece of advice you would give to any up and coming agency owners?
I would say just understanding your numbers, and then I think just understanding the drive it takes to really get off the ground. If you really want it, bet on yourself and get after it.
Awesome.
Two pieces of advice.
Love it. That's great. And then what does your morning routine look like?
Normally 2 cups of coffee, and I try to get to the office about 30 minutes before anybody else. And a lot of that is just to sort of get my bearings, look at my calendar for the day, and just really sort of get centered for the day to get going. But a little bit of caffeine and just a little bit of quiet time before the fun begins.
Awesome. Perfect. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yes, I'd probably say Mark Cuban. I just really like a lot of the things that he's doing. I think he's just an incredibly knowledgeable guy. But he also seems to have a little bit of a heart, which is good. So, I'm a big fan of Mark Cuban.
Very good. And what is your favorite online tool?
There are quite a few. I think dribble.com, awards.com, Pinterest are some things that I'd look at. And then communication arts, are some different tools that I look at. Actually, one thing that's really been coming up quite a bit is Instagram Reels. I've really found my algorithm, anyway, is really geared around short info share type videos that relate a lot of to video, web, brand specific. So I actually find quite a bit from Instagram Reels.
Awesome. That's great. And then the last question I have for you is, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
One thing I wish I'd known when I think earlier on is to bet on yourself. I think early I was a little scared of taking the step, as any business owner should be. I think if you look at the statistics, I think it's 95% of businesses fail within the first year. But I think to bet on yourself, and that'd probably be something that I would go back and tell myself is, you got this, you know, trust your abilities, trust your knowledge, and really trust your drive. That's
awesome. Yeah. I love that. Well, David, thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. It's been a pleasure to learn about your journey of starting and growing Springer Studios. So thank you so much for coming on today's show.
Awesome. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.